Sam, a little disappointed that your Sunday school's not in here. I was really hoping that I'd be able to talk to them more than yourselves. But there you go, never mind. So we're going to be talking about the fingerprint of God. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be asking the question, we're going to be looking and saying, is there evidence that God exists? So we're going to be looking for evidence, because that's what fingerprints are. They are evidence, aren't they? They are used as evidence. They are used to identify. So are there, when we look at the world around us, are there any fingerprints? Is there any evidence that God is here, there? And we're going to do this by observing, looking at things, and then asking some questions. And if you think that might sound quite simple, well, that's exactly what is called the scientific method. That is a well-established method for proving things. That's what scientists do. They observe things, they ask questions, and then they do experiments and they prove what they have seen and they have questioned. So it's a really good way of doing things, to observe and ask questions. Now, before we talk about the world around us and God's fingerprints, I want to establish a principle and talk just for a moment about myself and what I do. Now, I am a mechanical design engineer. You might not know what that is, that's fine. Basically, I create machines. That's my job. That's what I do. And again, you might not know, but that's a Spartan 360 AB, right? It doesn't matter that you may have no idea what that is, but I can tell you that the customer, when they ordered that machine, that's a list of everything they wanted it to do. Right? The customer said, we want that machine to do that. And when they got that machine, that's a picture of the CAD that we used to design it. But when they got that machine, it did exactly what the customer wanted. Did exactly what the customer wanted. Now, was that a coincidence? Absolutely not. The reason it did exactly what the customer wanted was because I designed it to do exactly what the customer was. I sat down at the computer and I created it and I designed it and I said, the customer wants to do this, and so I created a machine to do exactly what the customer wants. So, let's take that principle and take it to the natural world. And let's think about the alternatives. There's two alternatives. We've either got God, the grand designer, the creator of the universe, the creator of the whole universe, or life, the world that we live in, or we've got time and chance, or evolution. And we've got those two options. There's no really other two options. So let's look. And everything I'm going to present this morning, everything that I have personally seen, I have personally observed it, and you'll see because I'm in some of the photographs. Right, but so I'm not using something abstract, I'm not using something outside my personal experience. I have seen it and I have witnessed it. And the first thing we're going to look at is at the hummingbird. Now, you will probably know about the hummingbird, how the hummingbird is unique. The way that its wings work, the way that they are made, the way that it flaps its wings is absolutely unique. There is no other bird like that. The precision with which it can hover to get the pollen out of a flower is like no other bird. The shape and the size and the length of its beak is perfectly suited to the flowers that it gets nectar from. And so that's the observation. That is what we are looking at. And so we need to ask a question. And the question is that when we look at that design, when we see that beautiful bird there, and the fact that you can actually see those wings is an amazing piece of photography, because those wings are moving at thousands of times a second, or hundreds anyway, at least, right? They would normally be a blur, right? Not visible to the human eye. And you see it there, getting the nectar out. Now, that all works perfectly. There is no mistake there. There is no mismatch there. It works perfectly. So is that design or chance? Here's the design. Where's the designer? Is that design or chance? Those things working perfectly together. Did that happen by some fluke? Or is there a grand designer behind it? That's the question we have to answer. Right? And the curlew. I grew up in East Anglia, and there's a lot of the washers out in East Anglia, so I've seen these loads of times, out in the washers. And I can tell you that the feet of a curlew are quite different to most birds. They're much longer, has much longer toes, and with those longer toes, it doesn't sink into the mud. If you took a bird, like a garden bird, like a sparrow or a blackbird, its feet would sink into the mud, but not the curlews. And there's more than that. Its beak is curved at the end. And that curve allows it to get under the rocks where it finds its food. And the final part of the end is flexible. So it can go down and then it can get under a rock. And then it's got a long tongue that can then shoot out to get its food. So when we see that bird out in the mud marshes of East Anglia or wherever we see it, on top of the mud, not sinking into the mud, able to get its head right down to where the food is. That's the observation. And the questions, here's the design. Where's the designer? Was that chance, or did somebody create, somebody design it like that? Now, you may have seen these first two. Now, you may not have seen this, but this is actually quite incredible. The skill of this bird. These pictures I took in South Africa, I have to say not all the pictures I've taken are mine, but I have observed all these things. And the weaver bird, it may be a little bit difficult to see, but it seems to be running out of battery. Anyway, so you see that long thin green leaf, and it literally weaves those together while hung upside down. I can't hang upside down for more than a second or two without going dizzy. And this bird is hanging upside down. You see it there in both those pictures. And it weaves. And hopefully it's a bit better here. Maybe, can we get the front row of lights off? Is that possible? Might just help a little bit with the pictures. You can just see here that the weaving together, it is absolutely intricate. And then at the end, I'll just go back one, it funnels it down, a bit like an old bottle, to a little neck that it gets in, and then and that's its nest. And the intricacy and the design with which it does it, the cleverness with which it's doing it, is an amazing, absolutely amazing to see. So here's the design. Where's the designer? We observe something and we ask a question. How did that happen? This is Samson. Samson's a golden eagle, for obvious reasons, the naming of it maybe. The handler called him that, and I had I use this word reservedly, I had the awesome privilege of flying Samson when I was down in Devon, and it was an awesome privilege. We're on the cliffs next to the sea in Devon, and I had the glove on my hand, and Samson is clamping down on my hand, and I could feel the power of his talons. And then as the breeze is coming, a really strong breeze off the sea and across the cliffs, Samson just put out his wings and he just tilted them slightly and the wind lifted him up and he just gracefully flew away. And it was an absolutely amazing experience to see that bird. And you probably know eagles about how their eyes are perfectly located and how far that they can see. And you can see the beak there, designed perfectly for eating its prey. So here's the design. Where's the designer? How did that happen? How did that come to pass? Was that chance? Or is there a great designer about it? This is my favourite bird ever. I've been very fond of this bird ever since I was a small boy. It is a peregrine falcon, and it is, the only way to describe it is a perfectly designed hunting machine. It's in every way that bird exists, in its frame, in its features, everything is designed perfectly to hunt. And a little while ago, quite a few years ago now, I went hunting with that peregrine. And there's a sequence of pictures, and I'm just going to talk you through them. And that's me with the peregrine falcon on my hand, and we're going to go off. And it's had a hood on, And we've taken the hood off because we're now in the field and we're going to go hunting with it. And we're walking through the field and I've got my hand up and my glove up like this, and the peregrine, and it's looking around and you can see it. And the moment you take the hood off, it's looking, it is scanning, and you can see it looking. And it's there. And then Brother Martin Wheeler of Peterborough took these photographs. That pheasant got up and started flying away. And then the idea is you launch the falcon into the air. And the pheasant went that way, and the falcon went that way. And I thought, what's going on? No, the pheasant's over there. And the falcon went up high, and then it just went over the top, and it folded its wings behind itself, and it went into this dive. So I'm looking at that screen. It went into that dive, and in that dive it can go, well, I can't remember, I think it's well over 100 miles in the dive. I think it's a lot faster than that, but certainly it goes an incredibly fast dive down. And then at the last it went bang, straight into the pheasant. And that was the last that pheasant ever knew. And it took it to the ground, and then it ate it. Well, the handler gave it a reward. And you see that all working together, right? See that perfect design, a bird that in every way is honed to hunt. And the question is, here's the design, where's the designer? And when I saw all that, I thought, isn't nature amazing? What a wonderful design. And I saw that, I thought, isn't God amazing? You know, I never once thought, wow, isn't chance a wonderful thing? I never once thought, oh, you know, evolution, 13.7 million years, doesn't it do great things? I never once thought that. I saw design, and I realized behind it all, there was a great designer. This picture takes a little bit of describing, but bear with me. Right, so this little young lad here is flying a lure. Now you may know what that is, and that is this piece here. So basically you've got something that the falcon thinks is tasty on the end of the string, and you're swinging it round your head, like this, on a long piece of string. See how quite long it is. And your objective is to try and trick the falcon, because the falcon's going to come up and it's going to sweep down and it's going to try and get the lure. Right? And while you're doing this and you're swinging it round and that falcon's sweeping down towards you, it's quite amazing because I did it as well, and you can feel this falcon come past you and you can feel the tip of the falcon's feathers, of its wings, the final tip is just touch you as it perfectly judges its swoop down, coming at, you know, many miles an hour, probably 50, 60 miles an hour at that point. It swoops past you, just touches you. And then what happens here, you wait till it's swooping down, and then you wait till the very last moment, and then you turn the action and you throw the lure up. So instead of the bird now coming down to hit the lure here, you've thrown the lure up in the air. And at that moment, the bird, at, like I said, a considerable speed, inverted itself, went directly up and bang, hit the lure and took it to the ground. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible the way that it could fly and change. So here's the design. Where's the designer? Here's the simple fact. Nature screams design. Nature cries out design. It doesn't cry out chance. When you look at nature and when you think about the world that we live in and the animals and the birds and the plants, they all scream design. Not chance. Job, the book of Job. And Job's really been challenging God, hasn't he? And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, is it by your understanding that the hawk soars and spreads his wings towards the south? Is it at your command the eagle mounts up and makes his nest on high? God said, did you have anything to do with these? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Because God knows that he designed those things. God, the great designer. Romans chapter 1, for ever since God created the world, his invisible qualities, both his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen. They are perceived in the things that God has created. God reveals his brilliance, his character, his being, his existence in his creation. The simple truth is that God's fingerprints are everywhere. Everywhere in the world that we look in, God's fingerprints are there. They are there for us to see. They are there for us to observe. They are there for us to ask questions. And it's not hard. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's not complicated maths. It's really simple. It's very easy. We just need to observe the world around us. Ask questions and answer them honestly. And when we look at all those things that we've thought about, try to remember them, the hummingbird, the curlew, the falcon, the eagle. When we look at all those things, do we see chance or do we see design? Do we see the hand of a great creator? Do we see somebody who said, this is how it needs to work, and I will make all these things work perfectly together? The flower and the bird, the hunter and its prey. All those things work perfectly together. I put to you because of the hand of the great designer. Now there's one other thing that I want to talk about that God has designed. There's one other thing that God has created. And it's this. It's his word, the Bible. The Holy Bible. God's word. Designed and created by God. Over 1 million words. 66 books. 40 or so different scribes. I was going to say authors or scribes. But one consistent message. It has stood the test of time for thousands of years. It has rebuffed again and again its critics and those who would suppress it, those who would challenge it, those who would try to destroy it. It has withstood the test of time. You can see the precision and the consistency in it. And you can see there, this is a picture of my Bible. I'm sure your Bibles look very similar. They are highlighted. They are marked. And why are they highlighted? Why are they marked? Why have we got the center references? Because it is a consistent message from beginning to end. Because one bit links to another bit. Because it is all joined together. It is perfectly created, perfectly designed to link together. So when we see that, when we see something that's so perfectly designed, perfectly created, perfectly linked together, so consistent, we have the question, here's the design, where's the designer? And so, that's my message. It's a simple one. There's nothing complicated about it. That's the challenge that God has set for you and I. God has put his creation in front of us. God has put his word, the Bible, in front of us. Is that design? Is that chance? Is it relevant? Is it irrelevant? That's the choice that every one of us have to make. What choice are we going to make about God's word? What choice are we going to make about God's world, about his creation? The simple truth is that God's design, God's fingerprints, his identity are everywhere. They are everywhere in the world that we live in. We just have to go outside. We just have to look at each other. We don't even have to go outside. We just have to look at each other and we can see the perfection of God's design. We can see how God created the world. And so it's up to us to make a choice. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about the fact that we can see God's design everywhere, anywhere that we look in this world, both in the natural world and in His Word, the Bible, that we have before us? The most valuable thing that this world affords, God's Word, is the Bible. So what are you and I going to do about it?